The Bible says in Matthew 10:16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And even though the Bible proclaims that it is eternal, that it will never pass away, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus is recorded as saying, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." There's a lot of things that you and I deal with in our life that were not around at the time Mark and Matthew and Luke wrote. So what do we do with things that aren't specifically dealt with in the Bible? Well, we take the Word of God and its principles and we apply it to everyday living. Let's face it, I'm old school. I was relating to Brother John here that my son bought me a suit for Christmas, and I had to explain how real men wear real suits to this young man at DXL that was trying to fit me for a suit. That, you know, the sleeves are supposed to come down about mid-knuckle on your thumb. They're not supposed to be up real high. And your pant legs are supposed to come down and make a break. They're not supposed to show off pink polka-dotted socks or up here real high and skinny-legged and things. You're real men. I asked him, by the way, do you have men's clothes in this building? You know, I'm old school. I remember people not having a telephone in their house. Anybody else remember that? Miss Mix and I got married, moved into an apartment complex, and her and I were the only unit out of 10 that had a phone. Now it was just hung on the wall. It was remote, and the fact that you could take the handpiece and a 10-foot cord and go into the next room. That's what made that remote. How many of you remember houses without air conditioners? Hey, man, I remember when Daddy put in the first window air unit. It was the size of a commercial air compressor, and, man, you could hang meat in our living room. It was something. I remember cars that had manual transmission and window powered by Armstrong. Remember those? I remember when air conditioning was an option in cars. I mean, I love old cars. James, you love old cars. But you know what's crazy about old cars? They don't have air conditioning. Or power steering, amen. My dad had a 53 Kaiser Frazier Manhattan. Gorgeous luxury car. Didn't have power steering, didn't have air conditioning. You know, there's a lot of technical advances that have happened in the last 100 years. And we as Bible-believing Christians need to be Bible-wise in how to apply principles to modern things. Did you realize it took 75 years for the telephone, the old dial-up telephone, took 75 years for it to get into 75% of the homes in America. It took 7 years for the internet to get in 75% of the homes. That's how fast technology is changing. Who knows what will be thought of in the next 7 years? I remember my first cell phone was a bag phone. Anybody ever have a bag phone? Man, I was like Secret Service, buddy. I had to have the cable out through the back trunk and stuck on the back hood and a cigarette lighter. And, man, I was in tall cotton. I had a bag phone. My parents never imagined the ability for children to have a phone in their hand at school. But even today, I get out on location services, and I can tell where all my kids are all at once. I love that. But technology's not going away. Even if I could turn back the clock and make it all go away, I can't. It's not going away. So how do we handle things? We must let God's Word govern our lives. Because even though the last scrap of Scripture was written in 90 AD, the Bible says of itself that it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That word quick means it's alive. It's applicable today. We can apply Bible principles to today's things that were not even dreamed of back then, or even our parents didn't even dream of. Now, technology itself is not sinful. And for years, I'll be honest with you, I hesitated getting on social media. For many years, Mrs. Mix was on Facebook by herself because too many things were going wrong in other people's lives through it. But what I found out was relationships are built through communications. And social media is just another way for us to communicate with people. I prefer face-to-face. I really do. But people check us out on the web. People check us out on social media. They watch our services. It's the way things are today. So, as I said, if we're Bible-wise, we'll apply the Bible principles to a few things like social media. Now, the thing is, the Bible says that it's out of the heart. The things that come out of the heart is what defiles us. Technology is not sinful. And what you're going to find is it says in Titus, under the pure, all things are pure. But under the defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. Technology is not sinful. It's just if you go to the internet with an impure heart, you're going to find impure things. But if your heart's pure and your heart's right, technology is not going to mess you up. Because it's what's in your heart already to do. And it'll find an avenue anywhere. So, being Bible wise. Number one, when you're using your social media, be godly. Build godly relationships using social media. That's something you can use it for. I love the fact that I can talk to my missionary friends overseas on FaceTime, WhatsApp, and we got this new goofy thing called Marco Polo. Y'all seen that? I love that. I love that. Here's our missionaries, brother.
Hey, Pastor Max.
That's from England today. Or Sunday. Anyway, that's our missionary friends in Europe. Social media is a blessing because you can build godly relationships with missionaries and friends and family that they need a gospel witness in their life. They need somebody to encourage them. I know I use social media now to stay in touch with my family, to have actual face-to-face conversations with people in other states that I need to be close to so I can get them the gospel. If we'll be Bible wise, we can take the principles of the Bible and apply it to things like social media. So number one, build godly relationships. Number two, be a witness for Christ. We're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel, Mark 16:15 says. Well, what better way to do that than through social media? I can literally go anywhere in the world now, per se. I have friends in Argentina I talk to, on the southern, down in South America I talk to. I got folks in Europe that I can talk to. Build godly relationships, be a witness, teach Bible principles. Do you realize this book were made up of letters that Paul wrote to churches and people to encourage them and to teach them the Bible? What would the Apostle Paul done had he had our technology? How many people could he have stayed in contact with? How many people could he be encouraged? How many classes could he teach? I still, every week on Facebook, hear from our missionaries in Europe who are getting ready to watch our service. And those that, I'll come to church and they'll be like, hey, we're on, we're waiting to hear from you. Our services are over. Or our missionary friends in Washington State who are up in the morning having done their devotions are now sitting online watching our service, getting encouraged before they go preach. Use your social media to build godly relationships, to build people up, to give the gospel. That's being Bible wise. You now have at your fingertips the power to take the gospel. You need to encourage people. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend, Proverbs 27:17 says. You can be an encouragement to someone. There are folks in your family who need to know you're praying for them. Use that social media. Follow up on them. How can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? And then follow up and say, I'm praying for you. You see something on Facebook, make a comment and have a word of prayer. Contact them through video chat and say, I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you. I'm right here with you. I'm not in the same state, but I'm following you. And I know what you're going through, and I'm praying for you. You need to stay connected, though. You need to stay connected with those in your family who are lost. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:25, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from afar. And quite honestly, through social media is the only way I can watch my nephews and nieces grow up. As they start getting to where they're having kids, I can stay connected to them, talk to them, encourage them. I tell the teenagers on Sunday night during Glow Teens, you're probably the only godly witness in your social network at school. You're the voice for God in your little group of four or five friends. So when you post something, Remember the public nature of your posts and use it for good. So watch what you post. Don't repost things that are off color. Don't repost things and share things that are... So you can't help it if some knucklehead tags you in it and it's off color. But you definitely can dead sure take care of what gets sent out. Be mindful that you are the ambassador of Jesus Christ in cyberspace. So don't be sending out pictures of and forwarding funny memes that deal with off-color things. Or that's the wrong testimony to have. One of the conversations I had with a teenager recently was, well, they never ask me about spiritual things. Why is that? Do they know you're saved? And based on your last 7 days worth of posts, texts, and comments on their Instagram, would they know you were a Christian? We just need to be Bible wise. Technology is not sinful. But if it's in your heart to be sinful, you'll use it for sinful things. It's no different than any other medium. So stay connected. Set an example for others by the way you use technology. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. If you wouldn't say it in person, don't you dare say it on the internet where it can get passed around. But if you would even say it to their face, you might want to check your heart. Because that's not how Christ would be. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That means use your social media to build people rather than dump on them. Use it for good. Exert godly influence. You be the voice for truth in your social network. Be the one who stands up and says what is true in a loving way, but is still true. As a youth pastor, I'd always try to steer teenagers' conversations to the Bible or to a spirit. How does that apply spiritually? Try to take the conversation in that direction. I want you to think of the acrostic THINK, THINK. Is it true what you're posting? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring to others? Is it even necessary? And is it kind? Is it kind? Remember, you're the ambassador of Jesus Christ in your social network. And I've been told by some folks in our church who work in certain fields that every click you've ever made from the time you got on the internet till now is recorded and they use it for background checks. So every goofy website you clicked on, every stupid thing you said, everything that was mean, any bullying you did, imagine the next time you go for a security clearance or a job, and they're like, well, you're just not a fit for us. Why? Based on the last 7 days worth of text, posts, tweets, do you really represent Christ? Exert the godly influence. Be real. Be real. The problem we have a lot of times is we're not actually who we are on the internet. We're not real. We put up a facade. We laugh at people who get on dating sites and they've copied and pasted their picture on top of the face of Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, and that's their profile pic or whoever, you know, and you think, well, that. But the truth is, do the people on your social network, are you real with them? Do they know you're a Christian? Do they know you're in church? Tonight, me and Sierra just Marco Polo'd one of her video chatted a post to one of her friends going, you need to be in church. She wasn't afraid to show her pastor to her friend and go, you need to be in church. Be real. If you're a Christian, be one. Let's be one in cyberspace too, not just here. Avoid the appearance of evil. Avoid the appearance of it. Let that sink in for a minute. If it looks bad, you don't need to be involved in it. You don't need to be sending it out. You don't need to be forwarding it. If it's not helpful, if it's not inspiring, if it's not kind, if it's not necessary, don't send it. And then lastly, you need to be involved, parents, with your children's online activity. We have Verizon. I have the family plan. They don't buy nothing without me knowing it. I can get on and see who they've called and who they've texted, at what hours they've called and what hours they've texted. And I've actually been able to shut off at a certain time using Verizon to where they can call me. And if you'll talk to Philip, I got to get with Philip. Philip will tell you how to get onto the router and shut off the router at a certain time remotely for certain addresses and things. You can do all kinds of things. If you really want to have control, you can. There's a lot of things in our life that we never dreamed we'd have 25 years ago. But if we'll just be Bible wise, you'll find that it can be an effective tool for your use. But you know, as I talked about being a Christian, that means knowing Jesus Christ personally. You can't be an ambassador for somebody, for a country you're not actually a citizen of. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? If you died tonight, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Have you called upon Him, repented of your sin, and asked Him to save you, believing He died for you? October 9th was my spiritual birthday. When did you get saved? And Christian, you are an ambassador, whether you know it or not. Let's be Bible wise. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, it's good to be with our friends tonight and our family. Father, I am thankful for the times we fellowship and we draw close to each other as we draw close to You. And God, tonight as we leave this place, Father, give us an opportunity to be mindful of our behaviors, not only in physical space, but in cyberspace. That others are watching. Let us be the light that shines people to Christ. We ask, God, You give us the courage to stand for truth and for right. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may look this way. Brother.